listening to The Afternoon Commute with John Adams of HoaxBustersCall.com and Aberrato of Fakeologist.com. You can find past shows at audiochat.fakeologist.com. You'll also find instructions on how to join in and add your voice to this very special community. Now, on with the call.
All right, here we are on the drive home with John Adams, Fakeologist. John, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Tim. How are you doing?
Good. Of course, I forgot to give the date. Today is Friday, August 14th, 2015. There, that's better. This is a Fakeologist conference call where we update ourselves with what John Adams at HoaxBustersCall.com is doing. He's the co-host of the drive home, John Adams Commute, with Chris Kendall. And I just, in preparation for this call, I just finished listening to the call with the alien guy. I can't remember his name right now. And I almost hung up on that call. Almost hung up on that audio because aliens are just not something that tickles my fanny.
Oh, is that right?
It came back, the call came back to some places that I could understand and I could identify with. But I almost think I missed the point at the beginning. I thought, you know how you can miss a whole sentence if you miss the first word?
Uh-huh.
I thought maybe that's how I was thinking about with that call. I must have missed something at the beginning because I didn't think you were in the alien. Maybe you can summarize what the call is all about and how you thought it went.
I thought it went good. It's basically two separate calls in one and two separate discussions. We start out talking about the phenomenon of ancient aliens, and his name was Jason Colavito, and he wrote a book that I read a while back called The Cult of the Alien Gods, and he went over how the ancient astronaut, ancient alien theories came into play and how they were born out of the writings of H.P. Blavatsky, who started the Theosophical Society. And
what
so,
can you tell me what theosophy is? Because I heard that word in the interview a bunch of times, and I don't think I know what it means.
Okay, well, H.P. Blavatsky, she was a Russian-born mystic, okay? And she received a charter. This is something that most people don't really get into. I think Alan Watts got into it a little bit. But, yeah, she received a charter from the British Freemasonry Guild to start a religion that really combined all of the elements of Christianity, Hinduism, and Buddhism into one kind of ball of, you know. And so what it is if you take the word theosophy, it means, you know, theosoph, it's the knowledge of God, right?
Okay.
And so that's what she did, and she was a fraud. She was a huckster. And she was proven to be a huckster, fraudster back in her day, and she would do lots of things akin to what you would see a lot of these jokers who are the rock star atheists, like Richard Dawkins and the rest of those guys. And so, yeah, that's what she was of her day. She was a huckster and a fraudster, and would make all of these predictions that would never come true. And she wrote a whole bunch of books claiming that she received knowledge from the spirit. I can't remember the name of the spirit, but she would channel, you know, she would channel these spirits, and she would receive, the spirit would actually guide her through her writings, she claimed.
Houdini would have loved her.
Right. Yeah, it's not too far off the same time period, pretty much.
Or the not so amazing Randy of today.
The not so amazing Randy. That's right. Yeah. And so, this is around the same time period as the spiritualist movement, as the whole, you know, thing. And then Houdini's a very strange guy in and of himself, as much as he went to great lengths to discredit debunk. He was a strange guy who appears to be an intelligence operative of some sort. But in any case, theosophy down through the years, it became something there. The Theosophical Society today, and for since the building was built, is based out the publishing company who publishes all of the Theosophical Society's writings is called the Lucius Trust, and it's based out of the United Nations. I'm not kidding.
Hey, the what is it, Lucius?
Yeah, they even had a magazine back in the 20s called Lucifer Magazine. Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say that sounds rooted in Lucifer.
Yeah, light, Lucis. And so it was actually at one time called the Lucifer Trust, but that, you know, obviously people were not swayed with a name like that, so they changed it to the Lucius Trust. And yeah, it's based out of the UN building.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so at some point...
It's in plain sight.
Right, exactly. At some point, a lot of science fiction writers, and this is what he purports in the book, he doesn't really take on any... speculation. He just kind of goes from what's there. There was another H.P. His name was H.P. Lovecraft. He was a science fiction fantasy writer, and he wrote a bunch of stories based around the ideas that were in Theosophy. And Theosophy purports that there is a spirit world where there are these spirits. They're called the Watchers, and they're kind of watching over what's going on on this planet and guiding events.
Wow.
And basically, for lack of a better, well, they're the aliens, basically.
Oh, okay. Ooh. All right.
Okay. And so this guy, Jason Colavito, he wrote this book, and he goes over how these sci-fi writers borrowed a lot of their ideas from Theosophical writing and turned them into books. And then people started, like, thinking, like, well, maybe this stuff's real. This is so detailed. The fiction is so great. Sounds kind of like things today.
And so,
the fiction was so good. It was so detailed. It was that people started writing sci-fi writers and asking them, hey, is Cthulhu a real alien? And so it was real easy to start fooling the public into thinking, this whole idea that of aliens who came down from space and built the Egyptian pyramids and all that type of stuff. And so, yeah, that's where we get the modern mythology of ancient aliens. It really comes from this time past. And a lot of those myths made their way into the works of Eric von Daniken and Zachariah Sitchin and these type of jokers who just basically make stuff up for the most part.
Are those names current names that you just referenced? That Hitchin or Sitchin?
Eric von Daniken, I think he started putting out books in the 60s called Chariots of the Gods, where he said anything that has to do with religious texts pertaining to God, like take for instance of Ezekiel's vision in the book of Ezekiel in the Bible. He said that's a vision of a UFO spaceship, and is the same thing with Zachariah Sitchin. He puts a different spin on it. He talks about all of the biblical and the Sumerian and Egyptian texts are actually talking about that when they're talking about the mythical gods of those particular cultures, that he purports that those were all real people, and they were like 25 feet tall, and they were walking around. You know, that's why when you go look at the Valley of the Kings, you'll see the, you know, 50-foot high sculptures of the pharaohs. Those were
I remember that.
Yeah, those were actually sculpted to be lifelike.
Oh, okay. I got it. Yeah, so what do we call this topic? Is this esoterica? Because this is pretty bizarre stuff for me. You're quite interested in this, I take it?
I just thought it was something interesting to talk about because I regard the ancient alien thing, phenomenon, if you want to call it, as a giant hoax. So,
yeah.
I think it's a giant hoax. Well, and I thought it was something good to do an episode about just because it was, you know, something we don't normally talk about. So,
well, it's also a hoax that they might be bringing it back again through NASA, right? There's been reports through some of the kooks at NASA about aliens as well, that they seem to bubble up every now and then.
Right, and the interesting part about that call is, unfortunately, Mr. Colavito as much as he is very well-read and I agree with him on the ancient alien hoax, he unfortunately buys into a lot of standard mythology like evolution and the moon hoax and everything else. And so Chris spent the next hour debunking evolution and taking him on in one of the best debates I've ever heard on the subject. And I believe Chris won the debate. I'm not just saying that because he's my buddy and I do a call with him. If you listen to the call, at the very end, you can hear Mr. Colavito, unfortunately, get perturbed with the whole situation and just decide he's going to hang up. So.
Yeah, well, he was disagreeing on a fundamental level with Chris at the end. I did hear that call and I did listen to it, and I'm not too interested in the evolution debate, although this whole fakeology has really got me thinking about it. There's no doubt about it. It has to be talked about, and I don't mind hearing about it. But, yeah, I thought that Mr. Colavito just decided that nothing, that they couldn't agree on just the fundamental building blocks of evolution, and he wanted to take his toys and go home at that point. Although I think he was overtime in fairness, so at least he had an excuse to leave.
Yeah, I emailed him afterwards and I asked him if he was still interested in coming back on and doing it. I have yet to get a response from him, and I'm going to say I probably won't, unfortunately. I don't know why, because, I mean, I thought it was a really good debate on both sides. Both guys remained calm and collected, and even though debates do tend to get heated at times because there is...
As they should.
Right, and personal opinions involved with it. So, of course, if it's your conviction, of course there's going to be emotion attached to that. No problem. But I think for me, it's real simple with evolution. I don't see any evidence of it anywhere at all. And so if I don't see any monkey men walking around, it doesn't make sense to me how evolution... In the way that it's been sold to us, in the way that it keeps getting sold to you over and over and over again.
Its history, the way it came about, I hate to use the word evolved. It's one of those science fiction like type beginning Genesis that became science fact, and that's what really is troubling, the whole Darwin story and how it came about, and it looks like it is another one of these theories that is created almost out of a science fiction-like nature and then psychic-driven, and it just becomes fact because all the original opposition just dies and goes away, and the guys with the money continue to push it, and it just becomes a fact because the original people that opposed it are just gone. Just like the 9/11 opposers, we'll all be gone, and there'll be no one to take up the torch, and it'll just go away, the whole idea that people are actually against it. It's just like the ball earth. You know, people were against it 100 years ago. They didn't buy into it at all, but obviously they lost all the momentum, funding, and or whatever else it takes to oppose ideas, and now it's a dead idea today.
Right, and evolution, you have to... If you go back and look at the history of it, the people who pushed it, the Darwins, the Huxleys, putting it into the school system, and then you have to correlate it with what the purpose of it was, and really what it was sold on, the back of the Industrial Revolution, okay? And so what it was when the Industrial Revolution was coming in, and you had these giant, larger-than-life robber barons, Carnegie, Rockefeller, the Goulds, the Vanderbilts, the Astors, all those old, the old moneyed robber baron types, and they're come into an area and steal everybody's land and then make them all work in the factory that was built on the land that they once used to own. That was pushed as progress, and it was pushed on the back of evolution. Because evolution was sold as, well, okay, this is what we do. We evolve. We move forward. It's a mind trick. It's psychological, psychic driving, getting people to accept an idea and by accepting that idea, you'll be able to accept other ideas and changes that come along in your lifetime. And that's what evolution was used for. And it's used today. It's going to be used again very soon for transhumanism, because that's what they're pushing transhumanism with, and is that, oh, this is the next step in evolution. When it mm-hmm. absolutely makes zero sense, even if you believe in evolution, why would you need to physically change your body? Wouldn't you leave that up to evolution? So, like you correctly
yeah, interesting.
Said, it's like you correctly said, the theory of evolution evolves as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only evolution going on.
Mm-hmm. And it is a theory. It's not a fact. A theory is not a science fact.
No. And that's a great point Chris was making on that call, was as he kept coming back to that, is like, okay, you're saying this is a fact, and I'm just saying this is not fact, because it isn't. And unfortunately, most people who believe in evolution, just like Mr. Colavito did, he would say something like arguing against the idea of ancient aliens, but then when Chris brought up the fact that Richard Dawkins talks about panspermia and talks about the idea that it's quite possible that ancient aliens, it's a possibility that aliens seeded the Earth, which that's what panspermia would mean. And
right.
And he brought that up to Mr. Colavito, and he got very uncomfortable with that and said, well, yeah, there's a difference between a scientific hypothesis and, you know, a guy on Ancient Aliens saying it. It's like, no, there isn't. There's absolutely no difference. It's just one guy's a scientist, one guy isn't.
Yeah, I know. He wanted his cake and wanted to eat it, too, in a lot of ways. And, yeah, he was just a good arguer, and I almost found him duplicitous. And I could tell he was a bit of a deceiver. And I could tell he was going to be a good person for Chris to come up against, because he was a deceiver, I thought.
Yeah, and I mean, I honestly, I just really can't take. I mean, if you believe that we went to the moon, and that the footage is real, I can't take you seriously. I'm sorry, I just can't. And once I found out that I know they didn't talk about that on the call, but somebody brought that up that he thinks, you know, that he pushes the moon hoax. And I said, you know what, I just cannot even take that seriously at all.
Well, and that's, Chris should have made that comeback when Jason, I believe his name is, said to Chris, I just can't go any further if you don't believe certain truth that he believed in with regard to evolution. And, of course, I think Chris could have even gone further and questioned the whole nature of DNA and RNA transcription and that whole process of genes. The whole gene theory is, to me, up for debate as well. So really, we're going right
Absolutely.
Down to the building block. We're going right down to the building blocks of this guy's way of thinking. And I'm sure Chris questions all those theories. And without those theories, there's nothing to argue about, because we're just layers upon layers of science fiction. And
The same jokers who brought you evolution are the same people who brought you gene theory and DNA and all of that type of stuff. And I'm not going to say that there isn't something to DNA. I don't know, because I've never seen it. I tend to think that a part of the idea sounds logical to me, but I don't think it is exactly the way that we've been told it is. So,
well, Sue Bobo, who is a commenter on my site and on your site too, I think he's got another nickname on your site, but he exposes the whole. Yeah, Sean, that's his name. Well, I'm blanking out on names today. There's too many names. He debunks a lot of the Watson and Crick, the two that discovered DNA, and boy, does he ever expose them as deceivers and science fiction writers. And here we go again with all the things we consider fundamental knowledge. Just the background stories are so tenuous, but again, they just get psychic driven into psychic fact that
is absolutely scary what we base our knowledge on. And I'm not even sure you can reproduce in any kind of electron microscope, if you believe they're real, a DNA itself. I think it's a model. It's only a model. There's nothing to see.
You want to hear a funny story about electron microscopes?
Yeah, because I think you were talking about them. I think they're a hoax.
Well, it's funny because there's a guy who works at my work, and he is he's got a degree in materials engineering. Okay.
Materials engineering, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, he goes around and checks all of the copper and the lead for its content and its what grade it is,
high
the content, right? So he went to USC and got his degree from there, and so I asked him, I'm all, well, what was your minor? And he said, oh, I minored in physics.
Uh-oh.
I said, oh, cool. I'm all, how many electron microscopes do they have at USC? So, oh, they have a bunch. I'm all, really? I'm all, so how many times did you get to look at something through those? He's all, oh, none.
Yeah.
I'm all, what do you mean none? He's all, oh, well, those are reserved for research projects, not for students. Students don't get to look through electron microscopes. He's all, no, they have research projects going on. That's what they use the electron microscope for.
How do they know if the students want to become researchers?
Well, it just baffled me. I said, you go take a physics course, but you don't get to look through an electron microscope. I don't understand.
No. So they're a mystical, or maybe even a mythical device that's completely controlled and gatekeeped. Yeah. Well, it's like the nuclear physicists that guard the plutonium and the isotopic U-235. I think those things could be reclassified as the fantastic element I call unobtainium or non-existium.
Hey, well, Tim, I'm going to have to disagree, because how would Doc Brown have been able to get back to the future if he didn't have the plutonium that he stole from the Libyans?
Yeah, exactly. I never actually watched that movie, but, well, you can do anything in Hollywood. Laurel Canyon, I think all those places are real. I think that's the real part, and it's just modern alchemy, and it's magic, and if any of this stuff was real, then we'd all have one of these boxes in our backyard giving us unlimited energy. It just doesn't exist. It's a fantasy, and it's put there to stop people from investigating any real energies any further. I just heard something about, I think it was the Art Bell debate. Actually, Art Bell had Jay Widener on with a Canadian nuclear physicist, and it was a pretty dull debate because they both believe in the moon hoax, but Jay just believes in the moon hoax on steroids. That's the only difference. So it was quite boring, but I think submarines came up because they're talking about nuclear power and how they switched, of course, from diesel submarines to nuclear submarines, and he said that nuclear submarines can allegedly stay underwater or are powered for 18 years. Which, again, to me, is 1 + 8 = 9 is a mythical number. And they don't even have to come up for air like a diesel submarine would have to come up for, I guess, to capture air for combustion. But anyway, it got me thinking again that submarines, there's a lot of shenanigans around that. If you don't believe in nuclear power, then you can't believe in nuclear submarines, which means that they're probably just conventional power, and they do some other trick, sleight of hand, to simulate nuclear power. But that's a whole other topic. Submarine.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting question. I think Chris has talked about that too, because Chris used to be in the Navy, so he's been around nuclear submarines. But I think he has discussed that on some talks in the past.
Yeah, that would be if that power is mythical, then I want to know how they do the deception, what the methodology is to deceive people into believing in nuclear submarines, and how it works, how the trick is done, because it would be magic for it to occur. But anyway, it was an interesting debate, or interesting talk. It was a little off my normal interest, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the evolution part better, I think, towards the end of that debate.
Yep. I'm interested in aliens only so far as to prove that it was, you know, a concocted hoax, because there are people at work, or there's people in family members, they're always asking me if I watch Alien, the television show, right?
Yeah, that's a show, okay.
Yeah, it's a show all about how, and it's on the History Channel as well.
Yeah, his story.
Yeah, so it's on the History Channel, and it's all about how, ancient aliens have been here and, you know, helped man build the pyramids and everything else. And I'm just like, are you crazy? You know, like, just because it's on the History Channel and just because there's a bunch of guys who are experts up there on TV saying that it's real, now people think it's real. So,
yeah, well, they just believe in the History Channel. They just, that is just an authority
right.
Media outlet.
It's a little deeper than that. I think what happens too is it's because of what's called possibility thinking, and it's a little bit different than probability thinking. Take for instance what you just got finished saying about nuclear power, right?
Right.
The nuclear power hoax. What you could say is okay. Well, the nuke bomb footage is obviously fake. So I could say probably there's a probability that nuclear power could be fake, right?
Yeah.
Which I have no problem with. And I have no problem with possibility thinking as well. But when you take possibility thinking to the umpteenth degree, and most people do this, well, how could you say that there's not the possibility of life on another planet, right?
Yeah.
There's possibility
and probability. That's one thing that guy brought up that I agreed with, that way of thinking about things. Possibility, probability, and what was the third more likely? I can't remember what the word was that he used.
Well,
he was arguing a lot about possibility and probability and likelihood or something like that.
Yeah, and anything is possible. I mean, we've all heard that statement. So, I guess it is possible that there's aliens on other planets, but it's not probable to me because I have never seen any evidence of it. So it remains an improbable to me. And so that's what it is. And like you said about the new cokes, you've never actually seen plutonium and
never will.
And you will, and there's evidence out there that you could actually say, okay, this proves that the nuke bomb footage is a hoax. But see, there's no footage of aliens out there building pyramids, so I can't say, okay, that's a probability that happened in the ancient past. Or there's, you know, I've never even seen footage of aliens at all in the present day, just like I haven't seen half monkey, half tadpole men coming out of the jungle, because they're in the evolutionary process.
Give me one sec, John. One sec. All right, John. Sorry about that. And what other topics are interesting to discuss lately? You did the one interview this week, right? And it was two the previous week, because you said you were going away, and people should go over those calls for a while.
Oh yeah, I won't. I won't be doing any calls next week at all. So,
all right.
I don't know. I've been trying to catch up on the stuff on Fakeologist. Been trying to catch up on some other listening things that I listen to on a regular basis as well. So.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up because everyone's doing audios and YouTubes, and there's just so much stuff out there. It's amazing, really.
Yeah,
amazing.
And I think it's a great thing. I think all the audios that you're now supporting on your website there are really good. And even though I haven't listened to everything yet, I'm sure that
hard. You're not going to be able to listen to everything. There's just too much stuff now. I find you're gonna have to make choices now on what you can listen to. Really,
right?
That's what I'm finding.
Yes.
But
yeah, I was over the but the regular stuff from fake the regular stuff from Fakeologist. I mean, I always enjoy Kay Ham.
Yeah,
she's always got some interesting stuff to say. And
well, she did a thing yesterday while I was doing one. And hold on one sec. Yeah, she was doing a show yesterday while I was on an audio chat yesterday. I haven't even listened to her yet. She's doing a summary piece, I suppose, of her visit to Simon's shack in Rome, Italy. So that'll be interesting to catch up on what she went through. I was supposed to meet her in Toronto, but she was in the international area, and she couldn't get out, and I couldn't get in. So sort of a holding pen for non-citizens.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, she only had a short layover. So that would have been interesting in and of itself.
Yeah, I was listening to something really, really interesting, and I already emailed this guy to see if he wanted to do a call with me and Chris, and I just haven't heard back from him. But there's a professor of music who got interviewed on Jan Urban's podcast.
Okay.
And his name is Dr. Hans Utter.
Utter?
Yeah, like the cow, like U-T-T-E-R, Hans Utter.
Okay, so Utter and, out a word, yeah.
Yeah, and it is probably one of the most interesting things I've ever heard on music. Partly because I think it's interesting because a lot of the points that I've made on calls with Chris about music. It's nice to hear those actually talked about by an academic. Not that I'm so concerned about him being an academic, but it's nice to hear an academic
confirmation.
Right? Yeah, it's confirmation. But I like the fact that this guy is an academic. But when he's talking about the way that the biopsychology of music.
Right. Okay. And what site is that? That's Gnostic Media. Jan Irving.
Yeah, it's on Gnostic Media. It's a really, really, really interesting conversation, and I highly suggest everybody go listen to that because he's got a lot of stuff to say, and a lot of the points he makes are just dead on. And there's been stuff in the past that I've not been able to, I haven't found the words to articulate, like how to describe when it comes to music and how it does things rhythmically to, you know, affects your mind and your body and that type of stuff. Because he's studied that whole thing. He knows how to articulate it properly. And I was just really glad to actually hear that. So I would definitely suggest everybody go over and listen to that interview.
All right. Yeah, I don't think Jan Irving's in my, I see Dr. Hans Utter, Music, Mind Control, and Psychobiology. Yeah, Jan Irving's always into mind control and mushrooms, and he always loses me on that.
Yeah.
So maybe, yeah, I'm not subscribed to him, but I just found it was July 31st. Maybe I'll put Jan Irving back in my podcast rotation and see if I can handle him, because he's a very difficult listen in a lot of ways. You guys interviewed him, did you not, Jan Irving?
Yes, we did. Yeah, we interviewed him. Yeah, and I like a lot of his research. He does some pretty deep research into some stuff. He has a particular field of study that he just is kind of the go-to guy when it's based around that. He doesn't really kind of do like, you know, what you or I or Chris or anybody does is where we kind of go off into all different areas. He just kind of focuses on the mind control thing and goes into great deep detail about it.
Yeah.
But he does that weekly. What's that?
And he does that weekly. Yeah, I often wonder how a guy like that can support himself and do a podcast. I always wonder these things.
Yeah, no, he always has a lot of
podcasts.
He always has a lot of donations, so I know he gets a good amount of donations and a lot.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if it's possible to make a living on donations like this. I know the No Agenda show. I don't know if they're telling the truth about the donations, but if they are, then they sure add up. Wow, they're crazy. I figured they must gross up over $200,000 a year.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it, considering how many times Adam Curry takes a trip throughout the year.
Yeah, but he's also a bachelor. Doesn't sound like he supports anybody. Still, you're right. Yeah,
even when he was married, he was zipping around all over the place. So I mean, he's got to be he was going back and forth between Holland all the time. So he's got to be pulling in some good money to be taking 10 trips a year or whatever it is.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I guess that's a challenge they have. It's good to be out and about and get some world views and not just sit in your room all the time. I appreciate that idea. I'm not really, I don't get offended by it. I'm not a donor of the thing, so I guess I have no real say in the matter, but I often wonder if that's detrimental to raising money. But on the other hand, he gets good perspective when he goes to these places, I would suppose. It's good to go places and talk to real people to get a real feel about what's going on.
I agree. And I am going to go someplace right now, and that's into my house.
All right. Your driveway is underneath your tires right now.
It is right now, yes. So.
All right. Well, enjoyable as always.
Yeah, I always enjoy speaking to you, and you have a good weekend, my friend, and I'll speak to you the following week.
Well, that's great. And if anyone listens to this after I post it tonight, I should be trying to talk to John LeBon on the weekend early morning audio chat, which I will be available for speaking to as I go about my business. So John LeBon is scheduled to show up tomorrow. So that might be interesting.
Oh, cool.
All right, my friend. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Rochello, and you're not listening to me, you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.